Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Wow, you guys look great today, man. Looks good. This is a long weekend, and some people are losers. They're not here today, but you're here. No, you know, every once in a while, you need to get a little breakaway. We understand that. But I'm so thankful that God brought you here today. Just look around at the great people that are here. And also those of you that are watching online, I want to welcome you. You've chosen a great day. We're finishing up this series on the book of Nehemiah, Built to Last. Next week, we've got a brand new series starting on all the values that we have here at TFH, and I know you're going to really, really enjoy that. Hey, let me give you just a couple of updates and a couple of things, but Abuji, would you come on up? Kimberly, would you come on up? Grab a mic there. Grab the yellow one. Come on up. I know many of you have been praying about our staff getaway. We had 27 of our staff with spouses to break away for 3 days of just seeking God. And I was just thinking how I could give you a 60-second Reader's Digest overview. And I thought, well, I'll choose Kimber, but I didn't tell her I was going to choose her. So that way it gives her just time to just spontaneity from the Lord. So Kimber, how was the getaway?
The getaway was, I have no words. It gave us an opportunity to cleanse, to build, to restore, to praise, to be grateful. All of those things just wrapped in one big weekend. My favorite part, though, was when we were asked the question, who's in your chair? And that gave us a chance to look at our own hearts and where we were to see what is it that really pushes us to do what we do. And all of us, it involved the people.
Yeah, the people.
And that is what counted, because we're helping build the kingdom of God. And that's what we got to do this weekend. And I don't know about the rest of the staff, but I'm still on cloud nine. So it was good.
Thank you, Kimber. Wow. So awesome. We don't often push somebody special coming with us, but I've really been praying for 2 years now for this young man. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for years to be with us. And he's going to be here on the 25th. In the city, the 25th of September, for our chamber meeting on Thursday morning. And if you'd like to come, he's going to be sharing with the city. We're already preparing for that. And so you can go to our website online, and there's a place where you can register and come and support our city with a chamber meeting on that Thursday. But he'll also be here with us on that Sunday morning and a Sunday night. The Sunday night is going to be a special Sunday night only for those of you that want to improve your life. If you don't want to improve your life, then don't come. But it's going to be open to you to invite other people. And Dr. Dave Martin, he travels with John Maxwell. And actually, he and John Maxwell together last week at lunch with the guy from Savannah Bananas baseball organization. And he's going to be here with us. And we're going to cherish this time, but I ask him to give you a personal invitation, and watch this.
Hello, this is Dr. Dave Martin. I am so excited to be at the Father's House. My good friends, Terry and Anita. Pastor Terry and Anita, I love you guys, and I can't wait to join you on September the 28th. We're going to have an incredible time Sunday morning. You're not going to want to miss the service. It's a wonderful worship celebration, but a special Sunday night seminar, where I've taken wisdom principles from the Word of God. If you want tomorrow to be better than today, learn something today that'll make tomorrow better, right? If you're not doing as well as you'd like to be doing, it just means there's something you don't know. Here's the incredible thing. The Bible has principles, whether it's negotiation, whether it's time management, whatever they may be, there's wisdom is in the Bible to help you. Wisdom is the master key. I'm telling you, it's not for everybody. Sunday night, the seminar is only for people who want their tomorrow to be better than their today. I think that may be everybody. I look forward to seeing you on September the 28th at the Father's House in Leesburg, Florida.
Amen. 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 I mean, it's worth it to come and just hear his voice, all right? It's so great. But, you know, we here at the Father's House don't want to just keep what's going on in here, but we want to reach out to people that in our community and all around and invite them to come. And so today, the ushers are coming with what we have of our six packs, and they are the new invite cards. Are we coming, or did I miss that? All right. All right. They're working on the invite cards, so we'll do those in a minute, okay? That's just got enough stuff going on, but we'll take care of that. So turn in your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 12, chapter 13. We're going to finalize this teaching today. I've entitled this teaching, Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Say that with me. Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Father, we just approach your throne today. We love you with all of our heart. We thank you, God. And Lord, we ask you to be with us today, to lead us and guide us. Help me to say what you want me to say. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't say in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that back to my memory, because they weren't supposed to pass out the cards now. They're supposed to pass them out a little bit later. So anyway, see, everybody makes a mistake, even somebody as wise as me. You ever thought about that? But let's review where we've been, okay? Nehemiah has been rebuilding the city. Now he's going to begin rebuilding the people. In chapters 1 through 6, the deal was all about rebuilding the city, remember? The city had been devastated, leveled 150 years ago. The temple has been destroyed, has been rebuilt, but no walls. And so Nehemiah comes from Persia, chapters 1 through 6, to rebuild the wall. And he rebuilt the walls in how many days? 52 days. Again, how long? 52. Chapter 7 is kind of a transitional chapter, and all the names are given there. And then chapters 8 through 13, if you're taking notes, is about rebuilding the lives of the people. It's not enough just to build the church, but you need to build the lives of the people that are in the church. So Nehemiah, this whole study that we're doing, the Bible said everything written in the Old Testament will give us principles for how to live our life in the New Testament. So we're coming to chapter 12, and the people now, the temple is up, the walls are rebuilt, and they're going to dedicate the wall. They're going to worship, they're going to sing, they're going to give thanksgiving. It's a mountaintop moment of celebration of God's faithfulness. And I wish I could say to you, it all ends with chapter 12. Everything is good. They live forever and ever and ever and ever, right? It's like those movies we like. We don't like the ones that end in bad, but we want them to live forever and ever. But sadly, the people in Jerusalem were a lot like the people living today. They say, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give, I'm going to serve. And then things happen and we drift. We have to rededicate and we drift. So we're going to learn some great principles today. You have your stone with you. We've been carrying these stones with us now for several weeks, because we said this stone is a remembrance to you of how that Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't done overnight. It was stone by stone, one after another, firmly fit together to rebuild the wall. So the stone that you have holding in your hand, wherever it is, maybe you thought, well, I forgot it today, but you know where it is. It's a picture, okay? The stone is a picture of our lives in Christ. Just as the wall was built one stone at a time, our life is built one stone at a time. Eugene Peterson said it like this in his book, and I'd recommend this if you haven't read it. It's called Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Say that. Long Obedience in the Same Direction. The life of a believer is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's long obedience in the same direction. And the reward of long obedience is not flashy success, but it's deeply rooted in the presence of God. Now we're going to give you the six packs, okay? The ushers are bringing those. So just reach in and take out a six pack. It's not your mama's shirts. We give out six packs here. In that six pack, just pull out one of those plastic things. It's what we call an invite card that you can say to someone, hey, I'd love to invite you to come to church with me. Or if you leave no tip, don't you dare give away one of these cards, all right? It says on the outside, a church that cares where you're going and
not where you've
A church that cares where you're going and... Yeah. And so it says Sunday 9 and 11. It gives the address, and on the back, I love this. It says what to expect. Casual atmosphere, live contemporary music. And boy, don't we have great musicians in this house. Inspiring messages most of the time. Friendly people. No, it doesn't say that. Friendly people, kids program, and free coffee. We give away free coffee? I didn't know that. We should charge for that. Okay, free coffee. When on Sunday mornings and where, and there's actually one of those QR codes, they can log on and see what's going on. But this is just to help you. Some people say, you know, I feel a little reluctant. I don't know how to invite people. Just pull out the card and say, hey, I'll give you this. Or give it to a stranger, or give it to someone at the restaurant when you leave a good tip, okay? So today we're going to learn some principles from the Old Testament in these last two chapters. Are you ready? Here's point number one. Celebrate God's faithfulness. Say it again. Celebrate God's faithfulness. Say it to your neighbor. Celebrate God's faithfulness. Where's God been faithful to you this week? Man, when I looked at those little twins, there's been so many 4 o'clock mornings that I've been praying when God wakes me up. And I look at those twins in my mind. I see them in the hospital, but I see them also growing and serving God. And I said, God, I will hold them in my arms and dedicate them to you. I will do that. Even when the news got bad, I will do that. And I'll tell you what, that's celebrating God's faithfulness. If you notice, like every once in a while, a sports team will be successful, like Florida State last night. And at the end of the game, I mean, the kids were pouring out into the football field. And also when the team wins a championship, they don't immediately go to another game and play. They have a parade. Why? Because that celebration cements the victory. Nehemiah chapter 12, they're going to celebrate God's faithfulness like never before. When we celebrate God in praise and worship with music and our voice, it's a spiritual parade of God's victories in our life. Think about this for a moment. Stop and look back at what God has already done. I mean, doesn't your joy grow when you rehearse that? Chapter 12, verse 43. I love this verse. Chapter 12, verse 43. It's on the screen. Read it with me. Also, that day, they offered great sacrifice. Let's start again. Say it with me. Also, that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The men, women rejoiced so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Was heard where? I mean, chapter 12 is like a sanctified Woodstock. In a recent motorcycle ride we were in with Kyle Petty, we got to stop by Woodstock, look at the hill and all of that. And I remember, because I'm that old, I wasn't there. Some of you probably were, you druggies. But anyway. But this is a sanctified Woodstock. They have great, loud band. Say loud band. Loud. Great loud band singing. It's mentioned 8 times. Thanksgiving is mentioned 6 times. Instruments are mentioned 3 times. Rejoicing is mentioned 7 times. They've been working on the wall. They've been watching on the wall. They've been warring on the wall. And now they're going to worship on the wall. One of the distinguishing marks of a believer who is really in love with Jesus is singing, joy, and musical praise. I've noticed some believers don't come on Sundays till after the second song. You miss it. Singing is not preparatory for the sermon. It's not a filler. It's getting your heart right with what God wants to do. I mean, the emphasis on worship goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. There's 14 worship songs in the book of Revelation. It's not just about end time horror story, but it's about worship, worshiping him who is worthy. Holy, 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 the angel said. And I continually say that. People say, we should sing a new song. Well, you should have told the angels, talk to God a long time ago, because they've been saying the same song over and over and over. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. There's an importance of music and worship. Martin Luther said it like this. Excuse me, I just lost everything. Come back, Timmy child. Well, it'll come, Anita. Please help me, help me, help me. Devil, get behind me. Yeah, sing some more holy, holy. It was right there, and then it just disappeared. Okay? That's it. All right, but then it comes out real small.
Okay. Move over a little.
Sorry. Now, if it didn't come back up, I got a hard copy at home. It doesn't help much, does it? But I would like to say what I have in the notes because I think they're fairly good. But anyway, what Martin Luther said is he said that it's only individuals who... You're the best. You're the best. You're the best. Wow.
Trying to find the mark.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'll find it. Thank you. If you're not techie, you marry somebody that is techie. Luther had it right when he said this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Please listen to this. Next to the word of God, music deserves the highest praise. The gift of language combined with the gift of song is given to the man that he should proclaim the word of God. He adds elsewhere, I have no use for cranks who despise music because it's a gift of God. Music drives away the devil, makes people happy. He says, I get it. He said, music is the highest place. It's the greatest honor. Amen. So I want us to take a celebration break. Now listen, we got the twins to celebrate. God brought Maggie this last year through cancer. God has done miracles in your life. Listen, here's what we're going to do. I have asked the band to just lead us in a celebration of music. And if God's done a miracle in your life while we take this celebration break, I want you to stand to your feet, throw your hands in the air, and I want you to give unashamed celebration. So come on, band, help me to celebrate just for a few seconds. Yeah! And the celebration was heard in downtown Leesburg. Some have said the Bible is God's gift to man, but music of worship is man's gift back to God. We got to prepare to worship, though. Chapter 12, verse 30. Look at this. Then the priest and the Levites purified themselves, purified the temple, the gates, and the wall. Before they came to worship, they prepared their hearts. They cleansed their hearts before God. They wanted to be in the Lord, worthy to be able to worship. Don't be a silent spectator. Participate in worship joyfully. You watch a ball game or watch a NASCAR race or something, and you see the national anthem is sung, and you'll notice there's usually two types of people. Some will just stand quietly, waiting for the game or the race to start, while others will put their hand on their heart and they'll sing with all they've got. They'll sing the anthem. It's the same stadium, the same event, but some people actually participate. That's how worship is. We can be in the same service, hear the same message, hear the same thing, and some will participate with joy unto God, and others just silently stand there. You say, well, I don't know the words. Well, just do this. Holy, 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 to whatever tune they're playing, all right? You can do that. Then the priests and the Levites purified themselves, purified the people, the gates and the wall. You see, they were getting tuned up. When an orchestra gets ready to play, they tune up together. That's what we're doing today. We're just tuning up together. And so, you know, they get the right key, everybody gets on the right thing. So, you know, a tuned heart produces joyful worship. A tuned heart to God's word. So, verse 31, they brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall. Say, on the wall.
On the wall.
Remember what Sanballat and Tobias said? Well, they're not going to build anything that'll stand. If a fox walks up on that wall's going to crumble. Well, now parts of that wall is 20, 25 feet wide. So Nehemiah puts ladders up against the wall. And then he said, I appointed two large Thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right. And where do you think the other one went? To the left. That song, right? To the left, to the right, to the right. I said I was behind them with half the people on the wall. It was like a Jewish Disneyland parade. Loud voices. I once heard the story of a little boy who sang so loudly in church that people started looking at him. And his mother said, son, people look at you. Why are you singing so loud? He said, because the song isn't for them. It's for God. And I want him to hear me when I stand in this thing. Listen, worship isn't background. It's bold. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. The better you worship, the better I preach. And the more you say amen, the shorter I preach. Amen. This stone that I carry in my pocket, and I've got one on my desk, reminds me every act of worship, every song, every prayer is like placing another stone in the wall of my spiritual life. And it creates a fortress of joy. And it's the same thing here. You bring your stone, your life. You bring yours, you bring yours, you bring yours. Production team back there working in the dark, trying to follow me along, they bring theirs. But you see, it's all of us together. You know, I thought about different ways we could end this series. We could bring our stone and look like we're building a wall up here. But Anita said it right. She said, no, I think we should keep it somewhere in our hand, our pocket, somewhere on the desk, that every time we look at it, it reminds us, I am important at the Father's house. If my stone doesn't show up, there's a breach in the wall today. There's a breach in the wall today. There's something that is missing. Point number two, guard against drift. Say drift. Our natural tendency is to drift unless we intentionally stay obedient. Great beginnings must be followed by long obedience. Great beginnings must be followed by long obedience. So let me ask you today, are you living off the memory of a past dedication, or are you walking in obedience today? Yesterday's dedication is not enough to sustain today's obedience. Drift doesn't usually start with tearing down the whole wall, but it starts about leaving off one stone at a time. Chapter 12, it ends with them rejoicing. I mean, just look at this. They're up on the wall. They're worshiping. They brought tithe and offering, and they're celebrating. And it was so loud that it was heard from afar off. So those of you that don't like loud music, ask the ushers. We got earplugs for you. But you better get sanctified ears before you get to heaven, because it's not going to be, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Lord, Kumbaya. Are you kidding me? When I see Jesus who died for my sins, when I see a God I can't comprehend in my mind, who was never created, who's always been, knows everybody's name, created you, knew you before you were born, and the Holy Spirit who's called to be alongside me, you think I'm going to stand with my hands in my pocket? No, I'm going to be worshiping as loud as I can with everything that is within me. Woo! And so this is preparatory. This is preparation. I just sort of see God the Father and God the Son leaning over where they're sitting and saying, well, who's preparing for worship? And who's just thinking about where we're going to lunch? Is that house prepared for worship? Well, I hope they get something before they get to heaven, because they're going to feel like they're in hell. Because they don't like loud music and loud worship and lifting of hands and shouting and rejoicing. So Nehemiah, after such a great time, you guys got it together. It's going to be wonderful. We're going. He goes back to Persia for 12 years because he told the king, I'll be come back. And he gets news and he comes back after 12 years. And listen to what he faces. Look at chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. Now before this, Eliashib the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of God, was allied with Tobiah. Remember Tobiah? He's the guy that tried to keep them from building the wall. And he had prepared for him, he had prepared for Tobiah a large room which had previously they'd stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithe of grain, the new wine, the oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the gatekeepers. But during all this time that I was in Jerusalem, I came back. And I came to Jerusalem, verse 7, and I discovered that the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah prepared a room for him in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I suggested you should get out of here. No, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. And then I said, cleanse this room. And I brought them back the articles of the house of God. I also realized that the portion for the Levites had not been given, for each of the Levites and the singers who did work had gone back to the field to work. So I contended with the rulers, and I said, why in God's name has this house been forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. And then they brought the tithe of the grain, the new wine, the oil into the storehouse. One of the first signs of drift is you stop tithing. I look at that. I look at the tithing record. I asked Maggie that if somebody's coming along and all of a sudden they've been regular giving, they don't give, please let me know. And either myself or Tim will give that person a call and we'll say, hey, just want to check on you, make sure you're all right. Because I notice you haven't been faithfully tithing. So are you in a bind? Do you need help? Do you need financial help? Because it's one of the first signs. And one of the first signs of a person that never truly submits their heart to God is rebellion against the tithes. It's not an Old Testament principle. Jesus said you ought to tithe, but God owns everything. So how many times does he have to say it, okay? In verse 28, look at this. I just drove him from me. Now listen, remember Sanballat and Tobiah? Sanballat was the high governor of Samaria. Now married into a high priest family, his daughter becomes the wife of one of the high priest's sons. It's a classic example. If the devil can't beat you, he'll try to get you to join him or he'll join you. Josephus, the historian, the person that Sanballat ran out, that Nehemiah ran out, was Manasseh. Manasseh took the Pentateuch, the Torah, five copies of the book of Moses, and he went to Samaria, his father-in-law's house, and he started a rival religion on Mount Gerizim. They had their own temple, their own worship. And remember when Jesus comes along and the woman says, well, you Jews worship in Jerusalem, but we Samaritans worship Mount Gerizim. And so Jesus said, no, real true worship comes from your heart. So he said, I drove him out, but then he went over back to Samaria and he started his own thing. So I'm telling you, whatever you let come into your life to profane your life and to move you away from God is the very thing that's aimed at destroying your life. And not only that, but in verses 15 through 22, he says, I noticed that the Sabbath was profaned. They weren't worshiping God on the Sabbath. He said, in those days, verse 15, I saw people in Judah treading on wine presses, donkeys loaded with wine. They were out golfing. They were out fishing. They were out doing all kinds of things. They worked and said, well, I need to work. I need to catch up. Isn't that the excuses we hear today? He said, and so then, verse 17, I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this you're doing by profaning the Sabbath? So it was, verse 19, that I said, shut the gates of Jerusalem and begin in the dark before the Sabbath. And I commanded the gates to be shut on the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants around the gates that no burdens would be brought into the Sabbath day. The merchants, I love this, the merchants and the sellers logged outside Jerusalem once or twice. He said some of them thought that they would sneak back in, that they would destroy the Sabbath. He said, then I looked up over the wall and I said to those that are standing outside, I warned them and said, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do this again, I'll lay hands on you. The temple was neglected, verses 4 through 11. The covenant of faithfulness in marriage and families was neglected in verses 23 through 27. In those days, I also saw the Jews who had married the women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Remember in chapter 10, the covenant? We will not give our wives or our sons to pagans. Half the children spoke the language of Ashdod, but couldn't speak the language of Judah. So he said, I contended with them. I cursed them. And I struck some of them. And I pulled out their hair, their beard. You think it's a small thing to not follow marriage by God's principle? Do you think just living together instead of being married in covenant is okay? You are out of order. You're profaning the sacredness of marriage. And I say that with all love, and I'm just pulling out your beard hair right now and your hair. I'm just saying, wake up. Wake up, smell the roses. Don't give me that phony baloney that, well, we'll get to know each other, and if we're good together, we'll do it. That's proven over and over it doesn't work. Well, I just want to test. I just want to test, you know, make sure everything works. You fool. You're transgressing God's word. But yet you think you can stand and worship when you're out of order? I love you, but I'm praying because I can't leave you in that state as Nehemiah came along. And I can't live with this thing of, well, I know he's not saved, but you know what? I'm going to lead him to the Lord. Look, you're digressing in what God said. That you don't marry an unbeliever. You don't yoke up with an unbeliever. You don't partner with an unbeliever because they'll pull you back. They'll hold you back. And then your children, half of them speak God's word and half of them speak the evil. And you say, oh, please pray for my kids. Please pray for my kids. It's a result of you in a divided household disobeying God's word. Now, if that has happened, you have to ask God for his grace and his mercy and pray and believe the best you can. But I don't want to trust that. I want to see everyone here. I want to see everyone here equally yoked. Don't just look for another zipper. Look for somebody who has a zipper but loves God, okay? Number three, recommit to walk with God in long obedience in the same direction. So maybe you failed. Maybe you failed in the tithe, failed in the Sabbath, failed in the proper order of your life, failed in worship. So we recommit with God in long obedience in the same direction. I love Nehemiah 13, verse 30. This ends it off, 30, 31. Thus I cleansed them of everything pagan, and I also assigned duties to the priests and the Levites, each of his service, to bring wood, offering, and the first fruits, the tithe, at appointed times. Remember me, O God, for my good. He's simply saying, Lord, I've done all I know to do. I've preached every sermon. I've had a holy anger. Tossed Tobiah and Sanballat and the others out. But now, Lord, I'm going to have to go back to Persia. I'm going to have to leave these people again. But please, Lord, he's really saying, help them to stay dedicated. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that I know that just a one-time dedication is not enough. But I need to constantly realign my life with God's word. Daily prayer, scripture, Sabbath, worship, marriage in the proper order. Small steps repeated daily, 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 daily. The challenge is this. Don't let your faith be a moment in the past, but make it a work, a walk in the present. Listen to this last phrase that we're going to pray. Discipleship isn't one big stone, but it's about daily placing one stone, prayer, obedience, worship. So don't just hold your stone in memory. Place it as a commitment. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Those of you who would say today, man, I love God. I really do love him. But, you know, there's some areas that I need to rededicate. I need to rededicate. Maybe I haven't been tithing. I got to rededicate that and get back on track. Maybe I haven't really been worshiping. Maybe I've been allowing Tobias into the heart of my life. I'm doing things now that I've never done before. Or maybe you're out of line in the way you're living. Living with someone. Maybe today you're dating someone who's not a believer. I don't know where that stands. And I don't know why people fear living life in obedience to God. Because you see, it doesn't really matter what you do outwardly if your heart is not in line with God's word. That's what's so sad. So today, those of you that are believers, I want to pray for you. That if there's areas that you need to dedicate your life, that you'd be able to do that today. Father, I pray for the believers that are in this house right now and those that are watching. And I pray, Lord, that areas of their life that is out of order with your word, that you would strengthen them. That today they would take time to rededicate their life and say yes to Jesus. As you're continuing to pray, let me ask another question. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your heart and into your life, you say, man, I need to start at square one today. I need Jesus. Let me tell you a story about Jesus. God sent his son Jesus to this world because God wanted to do life with us forever and ever. And God is holy, but because of our sinfulness, we can't get to God. And so God said, I don't want to leave it that way. So I'm going to send the most cherished thing that I have that I love more than anything else. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus. That whosoever believes in him would have life. So you're here today, and the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart saying, let's start fresh. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to God, and the Lord is speaking to you. One of the greatest things I would love to do today, more than anything else, is to pray for you. The only way I know to pray for you is for in just a minute, I'll ask you to raise your hand and make eye contact with me. Don't be ashamed. But simply by raising your hand saying, Terry, I'm ready to pray the prayer. I'm ready to give up. I've been trying to do it in my own way. But I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to invite Jesus into my life. Scripture said that he died for us, but on the third day he rose to life. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And he sent his Holy Spirit to knock on your heart and say, today's the day. Today's the day. If that's you, would you raise your hand and make eye contact with me? Thank you, ma'am. Let me pray for you. Others today, raise your hand over here. Thank you. Raise your hand. Yeah, back here in the back. Okay, here, right here on the right. Right here on the right and then back on the left. So come on, just keep your hand up high so they can see you. Because what the team is doing, they're putting some stuff in your hands from me and Anita that will help you. Yeah, keep your hands up until you get the material, okay? Hands going up all over this morning. Those of you watching online, raise your hand right now.
Just raise your hand and keep it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for keeping your hand up. We're on our way. There's another piece of material. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Would everybody pray this prayer with me today? Father God, thank you, Jesus, for sending your son to come into my life. Jesus, I repent and I invite you as my Savior. I rededicate my life to you today. Years ago, I knew you, but I've wandered away. Today, I'm starting afresh. As best as I know how, I want to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Church, would you celebrate with me today, those who prayed that prayer? Come on. Come on.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.